Fresh set of downs. The single was 45. No score first quarter. Bradford operates in the gun. Fourth and less than one from the St. Louis 2-yard line. Grant showing blitz. Takes the snap.
Wow, what a great rush. Right up the middle.
Tackles 45.
Perfectly timed blitz from the backside. Chris Long again. Punt. Kickoff. Grabs football. Touchdown, Steven Jackson.
Hi, Rams fans. Welcome to What to Watch. Alongside my broadcast partner and Super Bowl champion DeMarco Farr, I'm Steve Savard. You're smiling because we got a lot to smile about these days.
Tell me something. When we see Jeff Fisher, he has a look on his face like he enjoys that we're enjoying this.
Yeah, can no you question. See? Yeah. Oh, I can see it.
Yeah, it's fun.
See it. Oh, yeah. He knows we're having fun here. We're going to take a look ahead to the final home game of the season, the Rams matching up against Adrian Peterson and the Minnesota Vikings. But first, let's look back on another come-from-behind win by the Rams. And I say another, DeMarco, because this is a telling stat about how far the Rams have come under Jeff Fisher in one season. They are now 3-5 in games this year in which they've trailed after three quarters. In the previous six seasons, they were 2-59.
Wow.
2-59. They've already won more games this year through 13 games when trailing after three quarters than they won in the previous six.
Trailing after three quarters, you mean coming back to win, finding a way to pull
in
back.
In the fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter. I this is funny. It goes, maybe this is the stat, or this is why I came up with this thought. I think the Bills victory, what you did in Buffalo, meant more than the San Francisco victory here.
In what way?
I know there's going to be, it's more cachet because you beat the 49ers. They're a Super Bowl contending team, but the way that game unfolded in Baltimore, or in Buffalo, and the way they came back, the offense was staggering. It was not moving. And then when you needed a drive to win the game, you put together a 12-play drive, 84 yards, and boom, you stick it in the end zone. Brandon Gibson had disappeared until the second half of that football game. To me, that showed a lot of guts. That showed a team that wasn't willing to lose out on the momentum. They started with a two-game win streak. They wanted more. And after that game, they're talking about Minnesota. I mean, this is the signs of a team that is building.
Yeah, the final drive was clutch. You mentioned the Rams really struggled on offense for most of the day. The interesting thing is there really wasn't a lot more separation on that drive.
Yeah.
But Sam knew that he had to force some balls in, and he got away with it because he was so accurate. Jeff Fisher keeps going back to the catch by Kendricks. There was such a small window there. It was a great grab. But he gives Kendricks a chance to make the catch. It's a remarkable throw. He made several remarkable throws in the
drive.
See,
and I like that. I like seeing that. I think we're seeing the same thing. A little less Iceman, a little more Maverick is going to win you more games. Yeah, I get it. You want to be accurate. You want to be the guy
that
doesn't
miss. Let me get into Top Gun mode there.
You want to hit in the right spots as a quarterback, and Sam Bradford is ultra accurate, but sometimes in the NFL there's not going to be much of a window.
Right.
You're going to have to throw it in a spot and say, hey, you've got to spin around and make a play. I can only do so much as a quarterback, but you got to give your receiver the chance, and I think that's what Sam Bradford did. Give these guys a chance to make these catches, and they came back and they helped the quarterback.
Yeah. I almost came out of my shoes when Austin Pettis made that grab
on
the call.
Bradford will pass, throw short, caught by Pettis, made a great catch. The ball was behind him, and Pettis hauled it in at the 28.
And you know, I didn't see the actual reverse angle replay. I knew it was a great catch until Monday morning. The more you see of that, the more you think, hey, Brandon Gibson's one-handed catch in the sideline at Miami, that might be 1A this year. I think this is 1B.
Sweet catch.
It's 1B.
Absolutely.
It's a must-have. Game's over if he doesn't make the catch.
Just moving around and contorting his body, and I don't know how you can say it any better. He just wasn't going to fail in that play.
Yeah.
That not on his watch. I mean, that is stuff. We get excited when Steven scores a touchdown. We get excited when Janoris Jenkins scoops and scores, or somebody, Chris Long, gets a sack. That's the stuff that excites me. There's a guy that only has few opportunities, and he makes the most of it, and it's the biggest play of his life.
And we've talked about the education, the growing up of the rookies. Growing up for it. But Jeff Fisher keeps going back to he's enjoying seeing guys that were here in their second year now take the step forward from rookies to productive second-year players. We've been talking about the offense. Let's give the defense some time here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You go on the road, you hold an opponent to 12 points, would have been 13 if the extra point had been successfully executed. That's what gave you the chance to win in the fourth quarter. Your defense shutting down what had been an explosive running attack for most of the season.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's what goes back to that thing about San Francisco or the Buffalo win being bigger, or Buffalo's win being bigger than San Fran. There was some great fortune that happened to you against San Fran, some really, you know, questionable play calling that
right.
you benefited from in San Fran. This was a defense going out and putting it on the line versus a dangerous offense and keeping the score close until your offense can help you out and win this game.
And you closed it
and
out.
And you closed
After
the show.
After you took yeah. the lead, you went ahead and slammed the door shut on Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Two unsungs. And I know we give this position heat. Craig Dahl and Quentin Michael played a heck of a game. A heck of a game.
Don't you think Michael Brocker should be included
in Brockers,
as well?
Absolutely. But we talk about those guys all the time. But those
safeties
played a heck of a game, yeah. and they need to be committed.
Both were very
yes.
physical in the box. At
yes.
the line
one
of scrimmage.
Almost knocked himself out.
Yeah, that's right. All right, when we come back, we'll take a look at what the Rams offense has to do to be successful against the Minnesota Vikings defense. That's coming up next on What to Watch. Welcome back to What to Watch. Alongside DeMarco Farr, I'm Steve Savard. Rams and Vikings matching up in the final home game for the Rams noon Sunday at the Edward Jones Dome. And DeMarco, we're going to take a look at the Rams offense specifically here. And look, everybody at Rams Park knows they need more out of the offense. It was great that they came from behind and put that drive together at Buffalo. But you have to move the football more consistently than they did for four quarters last week.
You're going to have to, especially against this football team. And I know we're going to talk about Minnesota's defense, but it's basically, you're talking about Adrian Peterson and keeping him off the field. The
right.
longer you can keep Jaren Allen on it, that means Adrian Peterson is on the bench. So you're going to have to be more efficient. You're going to have to stay on schedule, which means if you have a first down swing pattern to a running back out of the backfield and it's designed to get 4 or 5 yards, it's not going to hit for a home run unless something, a miracle happens. You've got to catch that pass. You've got to help the offense. You've got to help Brian Schottenheimer out by when he calls these plays, hit him. There are no my bads anymore. One drop could mean you put your team in a hole for 3.5 quarters. You've got to make that catch, stay on schedule, keep your second down short, your third down even shorter, and then run the football against this football team and keep them on the field.
You mentioned run the football. Steven Jackson needs 71 yards to become the 27th player in NFL history to gain 10,000 yards for his career. He needs 164 of the final three games for an eighth consecutive 1,000-yard season, be just the sixth man to do so. We thought Stephen would have bigger numbers than he did at Buffalo, but they stayed with the run.
Yeah.
I wonder how successful he'll be against Minnesota. Remember, the Vikings of a few years ago were almost impossible to run the football against. The numbers are pretty ordinary defensively. They're 14th against the run, 18th against the pass, 18th in total yardage, 17th in points a game. Is there an opportunity here for Stephen Jackson to have a 120, 130-yard game?
Yeah, I'll tell you how. It's not about numbers. And it's about, at this point in the season, it's about, can Harvey Dahl control Kevin Williams? That's number one. Harvey Dahl has suited up every single day. Regardless of what's going on around him, he's been a consistent guy, an unsung leader of this football team. Can he control Kevin Williams in the run game one-on-one? Can you cut him off? Can you cut off their nose tackle? Can you keep Jared Allen off Sam Bradford if you're Roger Saffold, if your back is hurting or not? If it's Wayne Hunter in the game, can you keep him from having a great day? That's what it's going to take to run the football. And the sad thing about Steven Jackson is – all the numbers, everything he's been through, we're still asking more. We're still asking you to carry the load because
right.
this Sunday it's important for him, and I don't know if it's possible because you're talking about one of the best backs or if not the best back in the league. Can you outrush them? Can you outrush Minnesota, a team that's living and dying by the running game? So, yeah, it's up front. It's the tight ends have to do a great job. Everybody, it's all 11 are involved in running the football.
We're talking about running the football here against the Minnesota Vikings. For the second straight week, the Rams will face a defense that's not good on third down.
Yeah,
Buffalo
yeah.
came into last week's game dead last on third down.
Right.
The Vikings are 31st defending third down, opponents converting 44% of the time. It's important because my lead-in question here is Jared Allen, who, if you get into third and long
he's
situations,
gonna kill you. Yeah.
can kill you. He's got 9 sacks. Is he still the same dangerous pass rusher we've seen in years past?
Oh, yeah, and he's looking for a soft touch. You know how it goes. I mean, he's still one of the top 10 heavyweight pass rushers out there. But he's not what he used to. He's not Alden Smith. Alden Smith is the future. Darren Allen is on his way out. But on any given Sunday, this guy can put four on you in a hurry. He can ruin your day. He can hurt your quarterback. So don't feed him. Don't give him what he likes. Don't put it in a Jared Allen situation. Make him have to defend the run, something, you know, that no older guy wants to do at a certain point. I mean, it's just, he's older. So slam the ball at him. Keep him on the field. Wear him out. You limit his effectiveness. If you make him play 40 snaps in the game and 29 are pass rushes, well, guess what? He's going to the Pro Bowl on you that day. So there's ways to take him away.
Vikings defense not great in the red zone like Buffalo last week. The Rams went 2-for-2 in the red zone. A big key to the 15-12 victory. The Vikings are 23rd best defending the red zone. What's interesting about the Rams is that from start to finish, they've not been a good red zone team. They're getting better.
Oh, man.
But they've been a great two-point conversion team, 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
And that says that you have the ability to score inside the 10, inside the 5-yard line.
Glad
the ability's
you said
there.
That. Does that make sense to you at all? Because I'm completely baffled.
Well, we asked Jeff Fisher about it Monday night. And he said it's a little bit of play calling.
Okay. All right. Two-point conversions you're good at.
Well, they've even converted from, remember in the San Francisco game, they got backed up and converted from the 7-yard line with the pass to Kendrick. So they've been very efficient, and that's a big reason why they're still alive in the playoffs.
That just tells me it's there. It's there,
that's
and you
I'm,
can
that's
be more
point.
Effective.
It's
just
there.
Get down there more. Right.
Right, and maybe they have more success against
right.
the team this week that doesn't defend the
Reds. You're
going
to need
well.
To. You're going to need to.
All right. Coming up, the $64 million question. When we come back, how in the world do you, not stop, limit the damage that Superman, he looks like Superman, Adrian Peterson can do on Sunday. He's having a monster year. We'll discuss that when we come back on What to Watch. Hey, Rams fans, welcome back to What to Watch. Getting you set for the Rams and Vikings noon on Sunday at the Edward Jones Dome. And DeMarco, all discussions about the Minnesota Vikings rightly start and end with Adrian Peterson. You know, I'm old enough to remember that an ACL surgery was death to most football careers, and especially the skill positions. I remember the zippers were that wide. So Adrian Peterson begins the season, what, 8 months, 9 months post-op from an ACL reconstructive surgery? All right. I know that he's not your average back, not your average healer, but it's also an indication how far sports science has come.
True.
Medical science
very
has come.
Very true, yeah.
But he's got 1,600 yards, possibly rushing for $2,000. He's averaging 6 per carry. How is this possible?
Jim Brown-esque is what I call this.
You know,
Jim Brown-esque.
The interesting
yes.
thing is they're 32nd in the pack. So he's facing what Steven Jackson's faced his whole career, 8- and 9-man boxes.
Yes.
And still getting it done.
Okay, here's the discussion we had once, and it's kind of funny. We've had this on the bus or on the planes. Your MVP, or I think it's comeback player of the year, Peyton Manning or Adrian Peterson, or MVP right now. If you made an argument about Peyton Manning, I would say this. Peyton Manning is the master counterpuncher. Whatever you do, he's got a counter for it, right? But whenever he's confused, he can check to a run. Adrian Peterson can't check to anything. The defense is set up to stop him, and he's still ripping it apart. I mean, his production has gone up since they've relied more on the run. It's amazing. Every defense, safeties included, are up on the line of scrimmage, and they're all geared to do one thing, stop him, and they haven't done it yet. This is going to be fun.
What do you see from him? What's his skill set now that differentiates himself from other running backs?
He's got martial vision, Falk vision, about the knowledge
compliment.
Of a defense. He can see what you're trying to do and how you're trying to stop him. Now, where he takes it to another level is he can deal with linebackers the same as he does with safeties and smaller guys. He can either, you know, glance off or shake you and go. He's the best in the league at dealing with the free hitter than anyone else out there. I mean, Frank Gore is up there.
Right.
Running backs, when they get to the free hitter, it's hit or miss, 50-50. That guy's going to bring him down or he's going to break the tackle. With Adrian Peterson, it's more like 80-20. He's going to break it more than you're going to bring him down.
Well, the good news for the Rams is that they faced an explosive running game last week and shut it down. The numbers were similar. The Vikings are averaging $1.56 on the ground. The Bills were right around $1.50. C.J. Spiller was 6.6. So they obviously came in with a great game plan and executed against the Bills. My question to you is, can you simply load the box and dare Christian Ponder to beat you in the passing game?
Yeah, but that's the thing. They're still going to run it through. But absolutely, if you're having success stopping the run, then you're going to force them to be one-dimensional. That means the guys up front, Michael Brockers, who has a chance to really, really be good. I mean, one of the best tackles we've seen around here. Oh, yes, absolutely. We've talked about it. We made this joke. We always want defensive tackles that get an edge on a blocker. Well, you don't need to get an edge if you can just pick him up and walk him back. So that's where he is.
Like Kevin Carter used to once upon a time.
Kendall Langford is coming along. He's made the transition. The defensive ends. The rotation is sound. As long as you take that intensity, what you did in Buffalo, what you did versus San Fran, and apply it to Minnesota, yeah, you're going to force Adrian Peterson to be great that day to beat you. And if you stop him, you put the game in Ponder's hands, and then you got something going.
And the numbers back up that Adrian Peterson is the Vikings' offense. They're dead last in passing yards, 173 per game. They have the fewest pass plays of 20 yards or more, and the fewest pass plays, only two, of 40 yards or more. And the interesting thing is, for an offense that runs the ball so well, they don't have much time of possession. Less than 28 minutes, fifth worst in the NFL. And I think that's an indication that Adrian Peterson's a home run hitter.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not grinding it out. A lot of times, he gets out the door and he's gone.
Barry Sanders, same thing. Yeah. He's taking it to the house. But here's the thing. I think the Rams' corners match up. I think they're better than their receivers, which means if you're Jeff Fisher, if your defensive game plan is to load the box, you feel comfortable in one-on-one coverage. Because any receiver in one-on-one coverage can beat you. That's why they're in the NFL. But Finnegan, Janoris Jenkins, if you want to go three wides, you feel comfortable with Fletch or Tremaine Johnson going one-on-one with one safety or no safety over the top and feel comfortable and know that your guys can make plays.
Well, here's one thing you have to compliment the Vikings on. They've played very disciplined football, just 72 penalties through 13 games, fifth fewest in the NFL. That's a problem that has been plaguing the Rams much better this past week. Only two penalties called them at Buffalo.
Yeah, let's hope that wasn't a function of just the crew that was there. It could have been a let's let them play crew.
Well, you never know. I like it when they decide to let them play.
Yeah, let's let them do the next game if possible.
Right now, it was Gene Steratore's crew, by the way. Right now, let's hear what the Rams players and coaches have to say about the matchup against the Vikings offense, and specifically Adrian Peterson.
You know, it's not easy. I mean, what he's done specifically just the last 5 weeks is just off the charts. He's got a touchdown run in each of the last 5 weeks of 51 yards or more. I mean, in each of the weeks, I mean, against good defenses. I mean, 200 yards rushing against Seattle, you know, something like that. So, I mean, you don't see anybody like him. And, you know, it's interesting watching the Bears play him, you know, twice in 3 weeks or something like that. And they're used to him. They know him. They know what they're going to get. And, you know, they still can't, you know, manage the run game. So it's going to be, you know, more than a challenge for us. And, you know, we had a big challenge with the Niners, had a big challenge last week. We only had 20 carries against San Francisco and 17 from the backs last week. This one's going to be a little different. Our key to defending Adrian Peterson is keeping Sam under center. I mean, that's the only chance you got. You know, you got to keep him on the bench.
You know, this guy is special. And I've been doing this for quite a while, and have, you know, had the privilege of, you know, having defenses compete against some really, really good backs. And this guy is right up there in that really, really good category.
You know, this Adrian Peterson, he's a whole nother guy, so. No disrespect to anybody we played. We played some great backs. Adrian Peterson is the best back we've seen all year. And he's playing as good as anybody. So it's going to be a great test for us. And we're going to have to bring our A game.
Coming up next, the keys to victory, what the Rams have to do to win their fourth straight and stay alive in the NFC playoff hunt. Back on What to Watch alongside DeMarco Farr. I'm Steve Savard. Going to take a look at the keys to victory for the Rams against the Minnesota Vikings. And let me just start with this. We talk about having a short memory on defense, and usually it relates to cornerbacks and defensive backs if you get beat down the field. I think as a defense as a whole, you got to have a short memory here, because you'd be fooling yourself to think that Adrian Peterson isn't going to be productive at all. I mean, he's been productive against everybody. If he gets out the door, you got to limit how far he goes. Don't let him have the long home run. But if he gets out the door, forget about it, go back to work, because the guy's so good, he's probably going to break a couple.
Yeah, it's going to be all 11 to the football this week. I mean, the backside corner could be the most important play on a toss sweep away because you may be the last guy getting there. So it's going to be everybody to Adrian Peterson rally to stop the run. But here's where your short memory comes in. You have a short memory if he beats the defense. If you have a design D and everybody's in their place and he just winds up scooting through four or five guys and finds a way out, hey, he's just that good. That's why he makes the money he makes. But if you make mistakes on defense, if you give them a hole, if somebody's out of their gap, that's the stuff you need to revisit and get back and get that corrected, because it's going to be hard enough if you play a perfect game.
Right.
Don't help him.
Field position also. We talked about this last week. The Rams, remarkably, had the edge in field position for most of the day against Buffalo. They couldn't take advantage of it for most of the day. In fact, their game-winning drive came from the 16-yard line, 84 yards. But, again, I think field position, when you're playing close to the vest, when you're not putting up 30 or 35 points a game, I think field position is important. And Jeff Fisher plays to field position.
Yeah, it's funny, man. You could analyze this entire season. When you go through the takeaway drought, remember that? I mean, that was the Sahara Desert drought. It was terrible.
Yeah.
And special teams. Kick returns, it is what it is. League rules, you almost take that away. Punt returns has been kind of stagnant right now in the absence of Amendola. We know this. Field position and takeaways greatly affect field position. The Rams have been backed up a lot. You know, so if you start ripping the ball out, getting the ball out more, or if you can somehow find a way to get creative, or Austin Pettis breaks one on a punt return, you'll change field position and you'll help your offense and you'll score more points. It's all a function of the same thing.
You and I have done a pretty good job of staying away from the P word, playoffs, at this point.
Yeah.
Because we know what's ahead. It's a daunting task. You got to win out. How much discussion do you think is going on in that locker room?
I'm sure there's talk about it. No one's going to bring it out publicly because it's just a whisper
right
now. And we do get mad when we don't see the Rams in the hunt on TV.
Now that they've left us off the in the hunt part of the graphics on ESPN.
We were so happy seeing it. Now we're like, where are we?
Right.
Yes.
Well, but I don't know. I haven't done the math, but if the Rams win when they beat the Vikings and they're over 500, maybe they'll go back to being in the hunt.
Let's just beat the Vikings.
Beat the Vikings. That's what you got to do first. DeMarco was fun, buddy. Yeah. Thanks for tuning into What to Watch. Make sure you tune in every week as we get you set for the Rams kickoff. And don't forget, this is the final home regular season game for the Rams. Fan Appreciation Day at the Edward Jones Dome. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the game.
An RBN production.